listening to the Sticks and Stones podcast. Welcome back. It's good to be behind a microphone this evening. We have a special treat for y'all. We have a guest with us tonight, our first time ever interview. So we're excited to have Kirkland Gillespie on here. That is your last name, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I should know that since I've had
known me for like on my 6 years.
What'd you say?
I said you've only known me for like 6 years.
You do live across the United States, though, so.
Yeah, I'll forgive
you. I'm terrible with names, so you should feel lucky that I remember yours. But anyways, it's good to have y'all. Good to see everybody. We're doing a little bit different, so I'm excited. But tonight we're going to talk about decisions, life-changing decisions, how to make the proper decisions. And I felt like it. You know, Whitney sent me a list of some topics he thought we should talk about. And the very first one was how to make the right decisions. And then Kirkland, we wanted to have him on, and he literally moved his life from Pickens, South Carolina, to the other side of the United States at Great Falls, Montana. And that takes a lot of decision making.
Yeah.
A lot of thinking about it. You know, well, I don't know. How much did you think about it, or did you think about it?
I've thought about it for a good while. I'd always wanted to go out west somewhere for I don't know how long, and then ended up meeting a girl, and she moved out there, and I visited. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I gotta come live out here for who knows how long, but. It was heavy on my mind and my heart for a solid 6 months.
Okay. So there was some thought that went behind it.
Well, so like about this decision though, like how did you get your mindset right to know that you would be leaving like family members and stuff like that? Like how did that like weigh on you in the long?
It took a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of prayer. A lot of asking for advice and getting, I guess, just input from other people on like what their experience in life has been. And I kind of compared that to mine and how mine would look in the next upcoming 10, 15 years if I stayed in the same place, just as these people have. And I'm not saying that staying in the same place isn't bad. It can be great. But also, too, for some people, you know, staying in the same place, it can get to you, and then you kind of live a life of what ifs.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to live a life of what ifs.
Yeah. Awesome. That's good stuff. So just so y'all both know, if my kids are grown and something happens to my wife, I won't live in Pickens anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all that.
I feel like that was premeditated murder that was about to happen. Because you're like, what happened to my wife?
I've got it on video. Did I use air quotes? But no, I've already told my wife that, you know, because I would love to move off somewhere. But we do have a lot of roots here. That's what keeps us here, especially it's different since we have kids. Kirkland doesn't have any kids. So decisions are a little bit different for us. They weigh a little bit more heavier, I feel like. And it's just different. But before we go too far into this, Whitney, I think you have another outline for us.
Yeah, this one was provided by my wife. Ooh. Actually. She knew I've been on call this week again.
Yeah.
And so she knew that I've been struggling. And so like we had a treat early this morning and coming into work. And it was like I out of the blue sent me like 15 outlines.
Whoa.
So I had to go through a lot of and like kind of dumb it down. But so
I feel like this might be a trap.
Yeah. But I mean, I live in constant fear, so it really don't matter. So the first off topic is going to be decisions, like the making decision process. So really, I would like to discuss the steps involved in making a decision.
Okay.
So most of the time for me, I go out on a limb. Like I'll just make a rash decision more than likely.
Right.
And usually the two people that end up married is the people who will think about it and the people who will make rash decisions. And I am the rash decision.
I could see that. Yeah.
But so I know that we were talking about you moving out to Montana. So like far as like decision making, like when did you know? Like when did you feel peace in knowing that you made the right decision? Were you out there? Were you about to leave? Like,
I would say that when I felt that I made the right decision and I was at peace would probably be the second that I told my parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to go. Yeah. Because leading up to that, all that's on your mind is, well, how are they going to respond to this? Are they going to be upset at me for this? Or is like all these things are running through your mind. And the second you just get it off your chest, you're like, hey, this is the decision that I've made. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. This is what I'm doing. And then that right there was just tons of weight lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah. Were you kind of hoping that they would talk you out of it? Like, were you at that point in your decision making, or were you like, I'm going, this is not the final straw. I don't mean it to sound like you just like told them, but I'm
or
mean,
was
like,
it just like the Godfather? You were just looking for that permission, I guess.
Yeah.
That what you call it? That blessing.
It was kind of just like talking with. So one of the biggest people that I look up to is my cousin Josh, and I'd talked to him a lot about it, and he's just like, dude, you're 24 years old. Like, you're starting your own family. You're doing your own thing. And I was like, he's right. You know, I have family here, but I'm also kind of branching away from that, starting my own. And I kind of went to him, and I had pitched around the idea a couple times to him, but I hadn't told him I made up my mind. But I just, when I finally made up my mind, I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is, I think this is good. I think this will be beneficial for me in my life. And so I kind of just told him I was going to go.
Yeah. Let me just throw this in there real fast about that decision-making process, especially when it just concerns you. It's different than when it concerns you and your entire family. So I had to make a couple of decisions a while back concerning me and my well-being and my mental health and the decision for my family as well, for their well-being, their mental health. And it was the decision to cut someone out of my life. It was a very toxic person, you know, just anytime we got around. Now, this is family, you know, anytime we'd be around them, argument would pursue, you know, and so forth and so on. It was just never a good thing. And I struggle with that because you never want to make the decision to cut someone out of your life, that especially as your family. But I finally come to the point where it is never the wrong thing to make the right decision for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the decision is right for you, then ultimately it doesn't matter if it, you know, how it affects other people.
No.
In a certain way, you know.
But at some certain point though too, you got to look out for you.
Right.
And you got to look out for your family.
And that sounds selfish, but you, for example, Kirkland, that decision to move out there, I feel like was a great decision for you. Sure, it could have affected your parents, you know, and they would have been sad or, you know, miss you. I'm sure they do, and so forth and so on. But at the end of the day, that decision was right for you.
Yeah.
Even though they might have thought otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's always important to make it's never wrong to make the right decision for you or your family, no matter what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and to kind of piggyback off what he was saying, I'm the oldest child in my family. I'm also the oldest grandchild, right? So my uncle, they all moved out to Colorado. And my dad, he works at the university. So he's got a lot of his time there. And mom's always with my sisters, volleyball, which I'm sure y'all know that takes up a lot of time in that area. And so I was like, who helps my grandpa? I do. Who helps them? I do. Who helps my other grandparents? I do. And it's like, that was heavy on my mind too. But I was like, I know that, like you said, you got to make the right decision for you.
Yep. You do. What were you about to say, Whitney?
No, I was just thinking, it's like, I'm willing to cut somebody out of my life to better myself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, this other person, people, or however many people you cut out, it's better to, they're not living my life.
Nah,
so I'm willing to cut them out in a heartbeat. And I can shut people.
Yeah. Oh, me too. So, unfortunately, that's just the way I'm wired. It's a downfall sometimes, I believe, being able to just kind of almost just flip a switch, you know, it seems like. But getting back to the decisions we make as human beings, just some numbers for y'all. Always like to, told Kirkland before we started recording, I always like to put a little bit of intellectual side into our shows just to seem like I'm smart, you know, even though I'm not, not that much.
Hey, don't you ever insult yourself.
I think. But did you know we make about 35,000 decisions a day?
I could see that.
I mean, that's what we said too. I could see that. Yeah. And
what's the biggest decision? Say.
No, it doesn't say that. I guess that's just whatever our day holds. But
mine's usually lunch, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
That is the biggest decision.
That is a tough one.
It says we make about 2,000 decisions per hour, or one decision every 2 seconds.
Mm.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
To imagine making that many decisions and to make it through every day alive, it's crazy, you know, to think about. So how has your decision to move out there played out, Kirkland? I mean, how is it out there?
I wouldn't have changed a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. Just the stuff I've experienced, the stuff got to do. Some of the greatest rivers in the country to fly fish for trout are 35 minutes down the road from my house.
This rubbing it in our face like that.
I mean, it's like those types of things, like I never would have got to experience, you know, if I stayed in Pickens.
Yeah.
My whole life.
I mean, what's wrong with Pickens though?
Nothing's wrong with Pickens. I love Pickens.
Okay.
It's just,
I want everybody to know that.
Yeah.
We got a lot of listeners around here.
Yeah. No, Pickens is great. I love Pickens.
But it's just, I'm on
here, I'm coming back to Pickens.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, there's certain things that places like that can't, that they don't have, you know what I mean? Yeah. And
what you got?
Well, nothing. I was going to bounce off what you were talking about with your, how many decisions we make a day. One of the other topics that I was going to talk about is decision fatigue, making too many decisions. I'm a foreman at my job, so I have to deal with other people and so on and so forth. And there's times where I make so many decisions that it's like at a point where it's like, I don't want to make any.
Yeah.
So like I'll go home and Angie's like, what do you want for supper? And I was like, I don't care, whatever you want. She's like, well, you got to tell me. You got to make a decision. And I'm like over there crying in a corner. I'm like, I don't want to make no more decisions.
Do you ever play, all right, I'll give you three choices.
Yeah.
And you got to pick out of the three. That's the game we play all the time. What do you want? I don't know. Well, I'm going to, all right, I'll pick three things and you pick. I'll give them three things. Well, I don't know. You just pick.
No. I mean, I hope my company don't hear me when I say this, but usually like all my decisions I make at a point has come from a coin flipping app.
Did we fix this road today?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of at a point where it's like, we'll just let fate decide today and I'll throw out the coin.
But unfortunately, on a decision like that, fate always says yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually how it works.
Yeah, it never works in my favor.
No, that's fate.
Like decision fatigue, though, like talking back on it, like it does get tiring when you're out. And I mean, I know you're a pretty substantial, you know, like bigwig in your company. To an extent, you are somebody of importance at your job. Right. And so am I. And I don't, Kirkland, I don't know about you. I don't know really what you do.
Kirkland is the most important man in Montana.
What?
Yeah.
Well, so in this situation, I make all the decisions all the time at work, or I make decisions at work all the time, and I come home and I'm so drained that it's like I just want somebody to make a decision for me. And it comes to a point where it gets very stressful, and like I get antsy because like so many people text and be like, "What are you doing this week? What are you doing this? What are you?" And I'm like, "Please, just let me get through." You know, like I'm at a point now where like, let me go to sleep and start over. Ask me first thing in the morning.
Yeah,
it's just it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with when you have to make a lot of decisions daily.
It is,
and it gets tiring.
Yeah. So Kirkland, is the hardest decision you have to make in your day is what amazing river you're going to go to fly fish in, or what mountain you're going to go hike, or where you're going to go scout? Like, what decision do you make today?
Honestly, the biggest decision I make is at 5:40 in the morning if I'm going to call in or not to work. That's the biggest decision I make.
Same, bro. Same.
Yeah, I think that's all of ours. We're like, do I really want to go today? But no.
I love my job.
Yeah. Another thing would be risk assessment on your decision.
Yeah.
So, in other words, how to evaluate your risk when you make decisions. So, like, to give you an example, and I really don't like talking about my work, but there's a certain factor where we have to go out on a busy intersection or a busy interstate, and we have to set up lane closures, detours, everything like that. And it comes to a point where you're like, I want everybody to come home. I want everybody to go home to their family. I want everybody safe. And it comes to a point where you have to make that decision that could be life or death. I mean, you know, when you've got traffic barreling down at 70 miles an hour and they're not stopping for anything, you run the risk of getting somebody hurt. So it's a lot of decision making. So you have to look at the risk side of it. It's not just every day you're making just basic decisions. Sometimes it's risky. Sometimes whatever you do could be a risk to you, your family, everything like that. Now, I'm not talking about like life or death, but I'm talking about something that could impact or negatively affect your family. And you want to make sure you have that right decision. You have to have a clear head. You have to think. You have to pray on. And it's one of those things, like, just, I guess, not taking it lightly, not taking that risk or that decision lightly. You have to think of. And that's another thing.
Yeah. Yep. The harder the decision is, I mean, goes without saying, the harder it is to make.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot at risk a lot of times.
So what, I mean, without giving too much away of what you do, can you give us a basis, a basis of what you do?
Yeah, just tell us about yourself, Kirkland.
I'm currently a overhead crane operator in a steel fabrication shop. We actually built recently in the past couple of years, the Atlanta Falcon Stadium. We did all the steel infrastructure for that.
Oh, wow.
The Las Vegas Raiders Stadium did that. First project I got on was the LAX transport carrier. So those big, like, you know what the MARTA is in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the structure for that. That's okay. What we were putting together. And that was pretty cool, but you're talking about risk decision making and being a crane operator in a shop like that. I'm carrying anywhere from 200 pounds worth of steel to 75,000 pounds worth of steel in the air.
Yeah.
Right. Throughout my day, countless amounts of times. And one thing that really kind of stays with you all day is, what if this fails? What if the rigging fails? What if some dude just decides to walk out in front of you and you can't stop in time and you kill him? Like, that's what my job is day in and day out, is trying to move stuff as fast as possible and not kill people with heavy amounts of steel.
Yeah, I thought I had it bad. Yeah.
I got to put out some cones. I could crush somebody with this piece of steel. Yeah. And all of a sudden, my job became pretty pretty great.
Yeah. But
no, that's awesome, man. So just for the audience's sake, Kirkland and I, you know, we've known each other for about 6 years. He worked at the same place that I did, or I currently do. He does not any longer, obviously. So he's a great guy. I feel like he made the right decision to move out there. I know a bunch of people at work are jealous. Just gonna go ahead and call it like it is.
My wife wants to go to Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Sims being one of those guys, he listens to these episodes. So yeah. Don't be hating on Kirkland, Michael. He can't help. He's better than you. yeah, congratulations, by the way. You're the first person on the episode over Michael. I figure I told him I wanted to get him on here and talk about some stuff with him. And he's, you know, he's busy. So it's all good. But
yeah.
Got two up on him. Two up on him now.
Nice. I'll have to let him know that next time I talk to him on the phone.
Yeah, shoot him a text after you get done and just, hey,
yeah.
Guess what? I just got that
done. Yeah, I appreciate you having me. It's really cool. I, you know, get to listen to it and get to learn a lot from y'all, you know, just kind of pouring out what goes on in your daily lives and what y'all, you know, struggle with and deal with day in and day out with relationships and just your individual selves mentally. And it's helped me a lot and I've learned a lot from it. And I'm just really appreciative of being able to be here and kind of give some input on some hard decision making, I guess.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
We appreciate it a lot.
It's a learning process. We started this thing, man. We literally ordered our equipment off of Amazon and we upgraded our mics, but that they sound a lot better.
Yeah.
We've done little things here and there, but we just want to kind of give y'all what we face. If it helps one single person, that's great. But most of all, I mean, honestly, it helped us. It helps me. Just getting on here and talking about stuff. But yeah, we're running out of time. Apparently, Zoom has a time limit. We got about 10 minutes left. But so just tell us, I know you do photography, and obviously everybody that listens to this should want to go check you out and see you on Instagram and social media to see what Montana looks like and how your life is out there. So where can we find you on social media?
My new page I started is Kirkland.Gillespie on Instagram. Okay. And I just kind of picked up photography and a drone and started filming and videoing everything that I do throughout the day on my excursions on the weekends and stuff like that. So it's
excursions. People like us had to pay millions of dollars to go on those excursions.
Just not fair. Some people just got it made.
All right, Kirkland, man, it's been great having you on here talking about some decisions. I'm glad you made a decision to go out there. I think it was the right one for you. And can't wait for you to get back so we can hear all about it. We'll do this again. But for everybody listening, you've been listening to the Sticks and Songs podcast. Thank y'all.